Okay, let's begin our discussions of Parsha Shlach. Again, we keep 1 week ahead of those listeners in Chutz La'aretz, but a couple more weeks, and then we'll get back together. Okay, but Parsha Shlach, obviously, the main discussion of Shlach is the Meraglim, which we'll talk about for a little while. There are more chairs. Just going to bring in some more chairs from downstairs. Never break up a couple. And the beginning of the parsha, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, we of course have the tzivui of Shlach Lecha Anashim Yasur Es Eretz Kanan. Hashem tells Moshe to send for you men, Yasur Es Eretz Kanan, Asher Anino Sein Levnei Yisrael. Almost every word in this pasuk is emphasized and discussed by the various mafarshim. Shlach Lecha Anashim Yasuru, which, by the way, not for this week, but V'yasuru is going to come up next week. At the end of the Parsha, we're not going to talk about it this year, but the parallel V'yasuru and the end of the Parsha, which says, V'lo sasur achvei levavchem achrei einechem. A lot of mafarshim make that connection of the beginning of the Parsha, where there's a taru, which ends up being negative, and V'lo sasur at the end of the Parsha. Let's focus on one of the words in this pasuk, and that is the word lecha. Shalach lecha anashim. What are the lecha? So Rashi already quotes Shlach Lecha. I got some chumashim there, but I'll read it to you. Shlach Lecha l'daitcha, right? In your opinion, for you, right? Ani eini mitzava lecha. I'm not commanding you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to send miraculum, to send spies. Im tirtze shlach. If you want to send, send. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. What exactly is the message of Rashi? But first, let's look at what some of the other mefarshim. How they understand this pasuk, this word even. Let's look in the Klei Yakar. Klei Yakar quotes three pshatim. What exactly is the word lecha? There's one little word in the Torah, but there's so much meaning to that word. Shlach lecha anashim. Strange word, right? It's like lech lecha. So there also, Chazal pick up on the lecha. But shlach lecha, what does it mean for you? Send men. What do you mean for you, Moshe Rabbeinu? So says the Klei Yakar three pshatim. V'lo lahem ki lecha dafka. Third line of source number one. Dafka for you yihi hashlichus lahana'a ulatova. Ultimately, hints HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the shlichus will be good for you. Ava lahem lo yia litovasam. But it won't be good for them. Shlach lecha nashim for you, but not for them, not for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Ki al yedei shlichus zeh nigzra alei amisa. Because of this shlichus, because of the shlichus, as we know, the terrible consequences, all of the meraglim and the whole dor dea didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael because of this shlichus. Ula Moshe garam sheyachai od mem shana. But says the Klei Yakar, amazingly, there was already a gzeira in the larger spheres. We'll talk about it a little more later as well, that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going into Eretz Yisrael for various reasons. The Torah Shebichsav gives certain reasons. The Torah Shebaal Peh gives other reasons. But Kadosh Baruch Hu already knew. So if Klal Yisrael would have gone in immediately, Moshe Rabbeinu would have had to die. He would have lived till 80, not till 120. So says the Klei Yakar, Ki kfar nigzar al Moshe shlo yiras ha asui l'malchei zayin umos, v'alidei cheta meraglim nishtahu mem shana. So the first pshat, says the Klei Yakar, is l'cha, it's good for you, because for them, this is going to cause them to die and not make it into Eretz Yisrael. But for you, this is going to give you an extra 40 years. So shlach lecha, says the Klei Yakar, it's good for you and it's not for them. Second, davar acher shlach lecha anashim. Again, a classic Klei Yakar who quotes a number of different pshatim on the pasuk. Shlacha, a second message of lecha. Dedafka ata techze beruach hakodesh im ha'anashim ksherim laze hashlichus. You, shlach lecha, you choose the men. Ki rov ha'olam toim ba'anashim chanifim hamarim es atzmam ksherim v'lovshin adereseo l'man kachesh. Many people on the outside look like wonderful people, and many people give kavod to them, and many people, you know, try to get on their good side. Moshe Rabbeinu, you really know who's the mechubad. You really know who deserves the kavod. Many people in life don't deserve the kavod, even though they get the kavod. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alkein Amar Lecha Anashim Dafka, O son Shehein Beinecha Anashim Chashuvim, those who are in your eyes Chashuv, V'lo O son Shehein Anashim Beinei Zulosecha, don't choose people who other people think are great. Shlach Lecha, You choose Moshe. Ki yachaliyo shein tocham kabaram. Because you could see the inside. They say the Arizal could look at somebody's face and know which area, in which area he or she had to improve. Just from your face. You have to work on this chait, and you have to work on that chait. That's how we knew. The Arizal had special kochos. Right? Almost all the kvaris that we have in Eretz Yisrael today, we know because of the Arizal. Right? We know, how do we know where the Amoraim are buried? There was always a tzion there. The Arizal went around in his short life, and he went around. He's buried here, and he's buried here, and he's buried here. Some of them are more, we have more of a Mesorah on than others. But that's the Arizal news. So he could tell. Tocho kabaro. Lahavdil, like Moshe Rabbeinu. But Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you send because you know the true insides of people. Number two. A third idea. Let's skip. He gives a couple more, but we're just going to go to the third one. What does it mean, shlach lecha? You have to also read it with the next word in the pasuk. Shlach lecha anashim. You send men. Says the Klei Yakar in the last paragraph. Davar acher, lekach pirat anashim. What does it mean with lecha anashim? Lefi shamar chazal, ha anashim ha yusonim es ha'aretz, v'yavru nitra rosh v'rashum v'bisraima. As we find in many stories in the Torah. The men were always the ones who gave up hope. The man says, they'll go back to Egypt. The men say, it's all finished. The men were the ones that gave to the Egel. The men were the ones that gave up. They complained about the food. So the men were the problems. V'ha'anoshim. But as the Torah says, and Chazal expand upon it, ha'yimachabav osas aretz. Right? T'na lanu achuza. Right? B'no slavchad. The daughters of slavchad. They wanted the achuza. We know b'schuz nashim tzidkanios. We were nigamim Mitzrayim. We discussed a couple of months ago. Because of the Nashim Tzidkanios that didn't give to the Egel, B'schus Miriam, who brought the Tupim U'Mecholos, the symbols, out to the desert, because she knew. She had that positive attitude. She wanted to go. So, Akein Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, L'fi Daitish Ani Roa Ba'asid, Hayayosa Tov L'Shloach Nashim, HaMechabo V'Sa'aretz. K'li Sabar B'Gnusa, Shloach L'cha Nashim, you can send men. If it was up to me, I'd send women. I'd send women, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can send men, but they're going to mess up. I'd send the women. That's what it means. You'll send men, I would send women. Again, and throughout history, it's Uvda that many times in a couple, it's the woman. It's the woman that gets the people to Eretz Yisrael. It's the woman that gets the family there. They're the ones with this in the inside, in their kishkes they have from the Nashim Tzidkanios to get Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. One other note on this pasuk of Shlach Lecha Anashim. I looked around where it was from, but the only place I found it was Rabbi Frand quotes this. Rabbi Frand online has this thought, quoting from Rav Muttel Katz, someone who lived through World War II. So he quotes, starts with a question. He says, anybody know? I'm not sure about the history of, he quotes a little bit at the beginning of the article, but he quotes there a question, the Shlach Lecha Anashim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew it was a bad idea. Right, what does Rashi say already? Shlach lecha, you send. If it wasn't me, I wouldn't send. We're not going to discuss this here, what was the whole reason? Rashi, Ramban, was it strategy? Was it to go to war? We'll save that for another time. But either way, it was a bad idea. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, don't send them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew all the different pshatim. Shlach lecha, he was hinting, for you, it's not good. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Moshe, no? No. Right, what happened later in the parsha? With the Ma'afilim. Right, the Ma'afilim, after the Gzeirah was done, so the Bnei Israel said, no, we want to go up. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. Hashem says no. So Hashem already said no. So why did he say no here? Why did he stop them? So says Rav Muttel Katz, Yisod Gadol in education. Yisod Gadol in Chinuch. Sometimes, source number two, sometimes Rav Muttel writes, educating requires not educating. Sometimes a parent or teacher must not react. Even though the situation really demands that something be said, sometimes it is counterproductive to react. Sometimes as a parent, as a Rebbe, we want to say something. We want, because we know something's going to happen. Something wrong is going to happen. Something serious. But sometimes, and this takes experience of a parent, of a Rebbe, and we have to follow our Rebbeim and our parents to figure out when it is that we just have to let the child make their decision, go through with it and live with the decision. Rav Muttel explained that this principle is illustrated in Parsha Shlach on the verse Shlach Lecha. Rashi explains that Moshe was instructed to send out the spies for your own sake, because God knew that it was going to be a bad idea. Rav Muttel asks, if it was so clear that this was not the way to proceed, and that the mission had all the markings of disaster, why didn't Hashem say straight out, don't send the spies? Forget what the people are saying and yelling, they want to do it. If Hashem knew it was wrong, it was wrong! So tell him no! turning over. The answer, says Rav Matal, is that the people were not on the spiritual level where they were ready to hear that. It would not have helped. Moshe could have given the people that message from God, but they were not spiritually sophisticated enough to appreciate the message. They would have countered. What do you mean we're not sending spies? Everyone knows the way to conquer a country. They weren't ready for that. Right? It's like the Gemara says, Chazal say, just like it's a mitzvah to give tochacha, it's a mitzvah not to give tochacha, if the tochacha is not going to be accepted, if I know for sure it's not going to be accepted. Mitzvah, shalo lamar, davar shalo nishma. Right? It's a mitzvah not to say, well, it won't be listened to. Under such circumstances, there was no other choice but to let them have their way. Objections would fall on deaf ears. Anyone who has a child who is older than a toddler, and certainly anyone who has adolescents or older children, will understand this concept. Often we as parents know what is good and what is right, but we know that our children will not listen to us. Sometimes, as difficult as this is for a parent, we must simply keep quiet. We could hint or suggest, shlach lecha, you know, hint, hint, right? Right, blink. We could perhaps provide incentives, but in the final analysis, our children have to make the decision themselves. It sometimes just does not help to say anything. That's the message of Shlach Lecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't say more than that. That's the galus, and as we always know, Mahu Afata, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Malami Torah Lama Yisrael, he's the ultimate educator, so too we learn from him. Rabbi Friend even then quotes a story, the incident that Ramatha related, he quoted, I didn't give you the part, at the beginning of the article, he quoted that he got permission from the family to repeat the story. The incident that Ramatha related occurred at the Telz Yeshiva in Cleveland in the 1950s. The incident, which was an applied example of the above lesson, was as follows. I was asked by the students of the yeshiva to permit them to daven Ma'ariv early. They wanted to daven Ma'ariv early one night. They asked why. Because the championship prize fight in New York was on that night. They wanted to do. Imagine if students came to the Rosh Yeshiva today to ask that the yeshiva prayer times be changed because of the NBA playoffs. Imagine that. We want to go to that. Maybe we could daven Ma'ariv early. Change Seder! Rav Matal explains, I knew full well that it was inappropriate to change the time of Ma'ariv and the yeshiva schedule for a heavyweight prize fight between people who are trained to hurt and injure one another. That's bechlal, a separate shir. Yeah, that the idea of you know, the mamash yisurim. But what did this great product of Lithuanian yeshivas, this product of Telz in Europe, decide to do? What did Ramatal respond? I cannot stop them and prohibit them from doing so. I knew this was not the time to say no. Famous and respected people come from all over the country to be present at the fight, to get ringside seats. 1,000 people come over all the world, skewed by masses, mass proportions. It was difficult to forbid it. I could not say no because they would not know where I was coming from, and they would not understand my reasoning. Again, one has to be very careful where one applies this. Many people know and could understand it, and they'll say, no, but I want to do it anyway. This is a situation where they wouldn't have been able to be masik it. He continues, the majority of students in the Telz Yeshiva in the 40s and the 50s came from public schools. They came to Telz from small, isolated communities. High-level Torah study was just beginning to take root in America. They had not achieved the spiritual level whereby they can understand this idea that watching two people hitting each other is a foolish pastime. To get up in the yeshiva and castigate them as nonsense would fall on deaf ears. That is chinuch, knowing when to say and when not to say. Knowing one's children and one's students and knowing the time and the mentality prevalent in the era in which one is teaching. That is what we learned from Shlach Lecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say no. All the messages of Lecha. This is one of the hardest, probably, when we see a child, when we see a student doing something wrong. How much do we say? How much do we not say? How much do we let them figure it out themselves? Lifelong experience. Lifelong experience. Okay. Moving to a couple of psukim later. As we know, we have the Nesiim listed in the parsha. All the special men, Ve'elo Shmosam, Shamua ben Zakur, Shafet ben Chori. Interesting, these are already different than the ones we had in the Parshas Naso. They were Nesiim then, and now here are new leaders. Yehuda's Kali ben Yefuna, Yigal ben Yosef, Ephraim has Hoshea ben Nun. Question that also we're not going to deal with, but food for thought. Why all of a sudden here is he called Hoshea? He's been called Yehoshua before in the Torah. It's not like here he had a name change. He was already Yehoshua, now he's back to Hoshea, and then he's Yehoshua again. Okay, just a question. We're going to deal with the Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's a question on Pasuk Yud Aleph that two of the great Achronim ask. We have all the Shvatim listed, and Pasuk Yud Aleph has the Shevet of Menashe. Shevet of Menashe. But instead of just saying Lamata Menashe Gadi Ben Susi, we have two extra words. Lamata Yosef, Lamata Menashe, Gadi Ben Susi. Yosef is linked to Menashe. And lest you think that we're just hinting to Yosef because he had two Shvat that came out of him, it should have said it two Psukim earlier. Lamat Ephraim. So if you want to link Yosef to his kids, so put it before Ephraim. Why is he mentioned at all? And why is he linked to Menashe? That is a question of the Meshech Chachma. That is a question of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenevsky. Says the Meshech Chachma, Source 5 and Source 6. Source 5, Pirush. Right when you know Pirush, you got to figure out what the question was. But we already read the Torah and we see the question. Shehaya Goli Beruach HaKodesh LeMoshe. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Beruach HaKodesh. Shemate Menashe Chetzio Yia Be'ever HaYaredein VeChetzio Ba'aretz. Moshe saw Beruach HaKodesh that this was going to be the one Shevet that was going to be split. Half in Eretz Yisrael and half in Ever HaYaredein. Right? Reuven and God were all in Ever HaYaredein. Well, the other Shvatim were all in Eretz Yisrael. This was going to be split. V'lachach, and therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I better send somebody from the western half. Shalach ish mechati ha-shevet shebechelkom ba'aretz u'mechabevim etz Yisrael. He wanted to send one from the half that was going to be in Eretz Yisrael because they loved the land. They wanted to be on the west side. V'zem midas Yosef shechibev Eretz Yisrael. And that's what's alluded to by saying lamata Yosef lamata Menashe. He gave somebody from Menashe who had the midah of Yosef. Yosef loved mechabev the aretz. How do we know that? Right? The Medrash contrasts Yosef and Moshe. Right? Remember, Omer Gunov Gunavti Me'eretz Ha'Ivrim. What does Yosef say when he comes out to Mitzrayim? I've been stolen out. Eretz Ha'Ivrim. He acknowledges Eretz Yisrael. What happened with Yosef? Right? He's called an Ish Mitzri and he doesn't respond. Right? So that's why Chazal say one of the reasons Moshe wasn't Zochet to be buried in Eretz Yisrael and Yosef's bones were taken up. So Yosef was Mechabev the Eretz. So Moshe Rabbeinu Newt saw this in Beruach HaKodesh and therefore he links Lamata Yosef, Lamata Menashe to try to get Menashe to come out with a good result. And yet, as we know, as the Meshech Chachma ends off, Chozel HaHoel, still didn't help. But that's why he sent it. Lamata Yosef, Lamata Menashe. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenevsky asked the same exact question. In the next source, Bine Hiksha Liachot, somebody asked me, Madua Hiskir is Yosef Gabi Menashe, below Ephraim. Why is he by Menashe, not by Ephraim? Bottom of the page. V'hanira li, says Rabbi Yaakov, fascinating. To be'emes matzin v'parches v'yachi. At the end of Yaakov Avinu's life, he gives a bracha to Yosef. Remember, he says to Yosef, your children should be like Shvatim. Right? He elevated. Right? He made another shevet. Kasher amar Yaakov, shnei banecha hanolodim l'cha v'chulu, ad bo'i elecha mitzrayim alihem. Your two children that you've had before I came here, they're mine. They are going to be part of the shiftei ka. Levi's going to be separate. They're going to be 12. V'hosef, and he added, u'moladetcha asher holadetcha acharehem l'chayiyu. Later children that are born to you, Yosef, al shem acheyem yikaru banach l'asam. We never focus on this pasuk. What about the children Yosef had after Yaakov died? After Yaakov came to Mitzrayim. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says in Vayechi, yikaru banach l'asam. They're going to be part of Ephraim and Menashe. They're not going to be their own shevet. V'hinei, habanim sheholed Yosef achareim, the children that Yosef had, lo haya lahem z'chus shel shevet Yosef, elo haya Yosef yachol lamosom leizah shevet mibadav sheyirtzah. There wasn't a separate shevet Yosef. Yosef had to choose. Was he going to give him to Menashe or Ephraim? Right, the older one or the one that got the right hand? Right, so which one? V'kivet shehaya Menashe ha-bechor, tzirfen l'bnei Menashe. So Yosef decided, you know what? All these children, there were so many children, we don't know if the children that Yosef had after Menashe and Ephraim, after Yaakov came down, he put them with Menashe. V'nimsa shebeshevet Menashe, nimsu gam b'nei Yosef. So Yosef, if you look at Yosef's family, he had Menashe, he had Ephraim, and then he had miscellaneous. Right? He had another group called b'nei Yosef. Lefichach, that's what the pasuk means. Lamate Yosef, Lamate Menashe. The Yosef group and the Menashe group. This was their leader. Not just linking Yosef as the grandfather. There were people in Menashe, there were many people in Ephraim, there were people in Yosef who were linked to Menashe. But Lachain, and that's exactly what the pasuk means here. And then he even says in Parshas Maaseh, when it says that Yikru Vashi Avos Mimishpachos Bnei Yosef, Mipnei Shahi Bneihem Mimishpachos Gami Bnei Yosef. It also says Bnei Yosef there because they weren't just Menashe and Ephraim. There were other miscellaneous children from Yosef, who Yosef decided that we're going to follow and get a nachla with Menashe. Two pshatim, why that phrase is put in the Torah, Lamata Yosef, Lamata Menashe. We don't know. Are they listed somewhere? They listed the other children? Do we know any? I mean, do we know the other? I mean, the children of the Shvatim, right? What does it say by the children of Yosef? Right, we know Binyamin, according to Chazal, had 10 sons. Right, they're all named for Yosef. Let's look at any of the lists. Right, do we know that? Okay, we'll have to do our homework. Okay. Let's continue now with one more Meshech Chachma. Do two for the night. One more Meshech Chachma as the Pasuk continues. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed, B'nai Yisrael come back, bring back the bad reports after 40 days. Again, 40 plays a major role in Yahadus. Right, 40 days and 40, right, they were away. 40 years in the desert. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Har Sinai 3 times for 40 days. A child, a baby, an embryo gets the status of a mixas nefesh at day 40 after fertilization. Many, many 40s in halacha. So they were there, came back after 40 days, and they gave everybody a bad report. And two of the meraglim stood up to defend Eretz Yisrael, or at least one does it befeirish. Pasuk Lamed, Vayas Kalev Esa Amel Moshe. Kalev gets up and silences the people. Vayomer Alu Nala Virash Nosa. We could do it. Ki Yachanu Chala. Come on, we could do it. Hashem's going to be on our side. And they said, No, we can't do it. But he got up and did it. Rashi here in the past, Rashi here discusses how did he silence them? He tried to trick them. He tried to say he was going to say something bad, and really he said something good. He notes Ben Amram. But let's focus on the pasuk for a minute. Vayas Kalev Es Ha'am El Moshe. How do you translate that phrase? Kalev silences the Am to Moshe. What does that mean? He silences the Am El Moshe for Moshe. Lil Moshe. He was trying to get them to be quiet for Moshe. So what does it mean? El Moshe. Right, so Rashi already picks up on it. We always have to ask. Whenever we look at a pasuk, we always appreciate Rashi more. Rashi says, "Vayas kolev hishtekas kulam el Moshe lishmoa mashi yadaber bo Moshe." El Moshe, to listen what he was going to say about Moshe. That's what you have to add in a couple of words. The Meshech Chachma tries to give a little different reason, which is more pshuto shel hapasuk kedarko bakodesh. Says the Meshech Chachma, Ha'inyan, source 7, Dehema hayu mispachtim. Why were B'nai Yisrael so scared over and over and over again? And especially now. Well, the Nisim and the Mun. Mibnei Shashamu, you know why? Because at the end of last week's Parsha, Eldad and Meidad, Misnabin B'machaneh. Remember what Rashi there said? Yeshua ben Nun comes and says, Moshe, let me kill him. Why was Yeshua so upset? What did Chazal say? Chazal say that Eldad and Meidad were giving a nevuah. Moshe's going to die. Yeshua's going to take us into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Yeshua got so upset. How can you say this about my Rebbe? Mibnei Shashamu me'eldo to meidan misnabim. Moshe made Yeshua machas la'aretz. V'ra'u ki Moshe lo micha b'hem. And they saw that Moshe did not get upset or angry or protest. V'lo gazar aleihem. And he didn't throw them in jail. V'yim kain. So they realized it was true. L'hikanis beres mitzar l'hilachim im amalek. So they said, 1 minute. To go into Eretz Yisrael. To fight with Amalek. Kasher Kfar Nikshulubo. They already fought with us. V'manakim. How did we win the last war? You know how we won it? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's arms were up. And that helped us focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we getting through the desert? Because of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all Moshe Rabbeinu. He is our leader. He's the one. Without him, we're nothing. Exactly the same mistake they made with the Egel. V'lachain. So Kalev was trying to teach them. It's not Moshe. Moshe was great. One of the animamim we spoke about last week. But he's not the end all and be all for Klal Yisrael. Hishtik Kalev Esa'am, Kalev quieted them. Bimashe Yichsu Es Kalam Ofsim El Moshe. What does the pasuk mean? Vayas Kalev Esa'am El Moshe. He quieted the people El Moshe to stop attributing all the miracles and all the zchuyos to him, to Moshe. It's not only him. Ki adarabba, the opposite. Gedulaso toli bachem. It's about you, Klal Yisrael. Shekoz Masha in his oven by Midbar. As we know, bonus yachad adibel Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not talk to Moshe Rabbeinu for 38 years. The entire time after they were nizov, they started dying until the last four, in the 40th year, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak to him. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe b'schus Klal Yisrael. Hashem doesn't want to speak to Klal Yisrael, doesn't speak to Moshe. What does Kalev say? We could do it. We could do it. We don't need Moshe Rabbeinu. Obviously, Moshe was great, but we don't need him. Moshe is not the reason and the cause of the miracles. Rak ha'uma ha'Yisrael is ba'atzma. We could do it. And now he repeats. That's the pasuk. V'ushamar v'yas kolev esahami, silenced them. B'masha miyachzim akol el Moshe. By attributing it to Moshe. Zelo tadabru v'lo yala libchem. Shirak b'moshe tali anitzachan v'hanisim. Right? He writes elsewhere, I didn't give it to you, that there's nothing in the world that has inherent kedusha. I mean, eventually gets, but it's all from the Torah, which is ultimately connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he writes also at the end, right, in the second paragraph. The second paragraph, he says, V'hinei adibur, let's skip to Aval, sixth line in the second column. Aval kivon she'ema tohu bazeh she'moshe hu ha'ikur. Once Hashem saw that they made this mistake and they had this attitude. Everybody, or most people in the desert right now, they knew Moshe Rabbeinu was human. They remembered him as human. Many of them were at his bris. Well, maybe not at his bris. They were growing up. They remember him. So he was away for a bunch of years. He came back from Midian. But they knew him growing up. But everybody that was going to be there at the end of those 40 years, obviously, they weren't 20 years old at the beginning of the Midbar. They never knew Moshe except as Moshe Rabbeinu. They never knew Moshe as having regular family life. They never knew Moshe without the man. Says the Meshech Chachma, there was the worry and the danger that if Moshe Rabbeinu would take them the final step into Eretz Yisrael, you know what was going to happen? They would deify Moshe Rabbeinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't have that. Yidmu be'emes ki hu ba'atzmo Eloki ve'yitu bo ki hu ha'mesabi ma'archos u'mishad adam v'lachin hochat b'nevuah ki Moshe meis k'de lahotzi mi'levavim ha'ta'uyot. Again, there are many different reasons given in the Torah Shebechzav, Torah Shebalpeh, that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going into Eretz Yisrael. But here's another one. Because Klal Yisrael would have deified him. They didn't know him as Moshe growing up. They only knew him as Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, he couldn't go in. And that was Vayas Kalev Esa'am El Moshe. Okay. Famous question. We'll have to deal just with one approach now. And that is, how did Bnei Yisrael do it? This will be the last about the Meraglim. Maybe the second to last. We're going to focus on the whole beginning and then the end of the Parsha as well. How did Bnei Yisrael reject the promise? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells them, Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells them, this is the ultimate, bringing you into Eretz Yisrael, not just Yisias Mitzrayim, not just Matan Torah, bringing you in, going all the way. How did they reject it? So we're going to do a thought from the Darki Musa, Reb Naiman, it's a Rav in Petah Tikva, years ago. So he quotes the Rashi, they complained in their tents. Hashem took us out to the desert, and we're going to. He's going. That is a pasuk actually in Dvarim by the history of this time period. And he hates us. That's what he brought us out. Where did this attitude come from? Where did this come from? How is it that they rejected such a presence? The Efshel Avayr says, let me explain, possibly. And this thought will hopefully give new meaning to the difference between living in Eretz Yisrael and living outside of Eretz Yisrael. As we have to realize every Parsha Shlach, every Jew in the entire world has to recommit themselves to what it says many times in the Torah, but one can't move in this parsha without realizing this. The Efshel Levayer, he says, what the Meraglim said, ki hi eretz ocheles yoshveha, it is a land that eats its inhabitants. Lo amru sheker, it was not false. Ki eretz Yisrael lefnei shebo b'nei Yisrael sham, haisa b'emetz eretz ocheles yoshveha. It was an out-of-control land before the Jews came. Without Jews practicing their avoda, without Jews learning Torah and living a life of Torah, then it's an Eretz Ocheles Yoshveha. Umasha Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar Ki Hi Eretz Tova, Ein Tova La Torah. Torah linked with Eretz Yisrael is the ultimate goal of creation. V'zeh Domeh, And look what the marshal he gives. Somebody walks into a house. It's pitch black. The windows are all closed. The trees are down. It's pitch black. There's no air. His chalitza, you're not screaming. How can you live in a house like this? How can you live? It's so dark. There's no air. The other guy says, Shota. It's a huge house. It's beautiful. There's no air. The windows are closed. The doors are sealed. You got to open the doors and open the windows and let the air in. Then it'll be beautiful. Says the Darkei Mussar, Kachim Eretz Yisrael. The air of Eretz Yisrael is Torah. That's the oxygen. B'li HaTorah Ein Avir. It's the palace of the king. And in the palace of the king, that's the air. They didn't see any Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They said, Eretz Ochelas Yoshvel. Moshe Rabbeinu will say, that's true now, but when you go in there, it's totally different. Yischalef ha'avir, the air is going to change. Ki ha'avir shel Eretz Yisrael hi ha'Torah. Ha'avir ha'tiv'i shela hi ha'Torah. Living a life of Torah is inherent in the avir of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says it. Avir at Eretz Yisrael machkim. Right, it makes one wise in Torah. U'b'li ha'Torah yef shel lichyos be'Eretz Yisrael. B'li avir shel Torah hi Eretz Ochelas Yoshvelah. V'lachein, kisha'am Yisrael shomeres ha-Torah, when we keep the Torah, avavi she'yish ha'chayim shelo shomeres ha-Torah, even though it's not perfect, and we yearn for the day when everybody will keep the Torah, but v'chol zos yecholom l'chios b'schus elu she'shomeres ha-Torah, v'b'negi she'kfar yish avir ha-Torah. What a responsibility, but what a privilege. The responsibility of living in the palace of the king. And the air that we breathe is a Torah. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria with such a land. That the air is Torah. The oxygen is Torah oxygen. Lachin kish b'nei Yisrael chatu. B'nei Eretz Yisrael. Higlos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eretz Yisrael. When they sinned, Hashem threw them out. Why? For your own good. If you're not keeping the Torah, then you're not going to breathe. So you could go out because outside of Eretz Yisrael it's just regular stam air. It's not Torah air. It's not naturally Torah air. It says, "Rakan Kodesh Baruch Hu Manish Im Over Malator." I'm sorry, I skipped. V'zayim Bechesed Kodesh Baruch Hu. Look at this line, fifth to last line. Ki bechutz la'aretz yish avir tivi. And the Chazal says, "Natural air." V'yafshar luchias b'li haTorah. You know, without the Torah, you still live. Rakan Kodesh Baruch Hu Manish Im Over Malator bechutz la'aretz. You'll get a punishment, but it's not like you're not going to breathe spiritually. Im zeh rak begeder onesh yodim Kodesh Baruch Hu marich afu rakam mechanun. But in Eretz Yisrael, if one does not keep the Torah, zil lo rak begeder onesh. It's not just an onesh, ela pashut chaser avir. V'yefshar lichyos b'li avir, ki ha'avir ha'tiv'i shel Eretz Yisrael, ki ha'Torah ha'kdosha. This is what we have to realize as we walk these special areas, these special lands, these special Dalai Lamas, everywhere we go. And this is something that, this is not anything political. This is something that you read the Torah and you see it. You read the Darkei Mussar, you can't move in Parsha Shlach without this. That's the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. We live and breathe Torah, and we have to make sure that we connect to this air and breathe in as much as we can. Moving right along, now we get to the middle of the Parsha, before we get to the end. So the main crux is the Meraglim. After the Meraglim, we have two mitzvahs. Two mitzvahs given to Klal Yisrael. Number one is Challah, the mitzvah of Challah, being Mafresh Challah. And the second one is the mitzvah of Nesachim. Nesachim, the wine libations. Every day in the Beis HaMikdash, wine was poured with various karbanos on the Mizbeach. It's poured into certain cups onto the Mizbeach. Every day wine was poured. For a week out of the year, water was also poured. Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos. But every day wine was poured with various karbanos. So says Rav Zevin, Latar Avala Moadim. Classic Rav Zevin. Creative. Miraglim, source 9. Miraglim, Nesachim, V'chala, Shalosh, Parshios, Elu, Bo, Ritzufos. Three in a row. The Miraglim, the Nesachim, and Chala. V'zu acharzu. Mashbash, Nesachim, V'chala, Bo, Kitguva, V'tikum, L'chein, Miraglim. As if that Nesachim and Chala are somehow a tikun. Again, Chazal say, oh, we were so depressed, we weren't going to go into Eretz Yisrael, so Hashem gives us Nesachim. Don't worry, you're going to have a base of Mikdash. Okay. But says the Rav Zevin, L'tov L'moad, maybe there's something deeper. Hanesachim ba'im mimala lamata, v'chala mimata lamala. The wine, the nesachim, are a symbol of going from up to down. You go up to the top of the Mizbeach, you pour the wine, and it goes down into the Shisin, into the pipes under the Mizbeach, and goes all the way down. Chala, I am mafresh chala, but chala with the Lashon of the Torah, tarimu, truma. We lift up. We lift up from the chala, we take off chala, we lift it up, and we give it to the Kohen. Hanesachim and Aslim al Hashisin, they go up to down. V'im chala shetachas the Mizbeach, k'neged makom Hanesachim, there's a hole under the Mizbeach. V'ashisin hayim mechulalim, v'yordim at home, it goes all the way down. Ubachala kasuv, v'hoi ba'achochem ilechem aritz, tarimu truma l'Hashem. It's mitzvah to lift up chala, to bring it up. So what does this have to do with us? Line 7. Tachlis ha-kavana shall be as-ha-aretzi l'kadish as-ha-aretz v'as-ha-aretzius. The ultimate kavana of going into Eretz Yisrael is to sanctify the mundane. As we know, in the Midbar, it was a totally miraculous existence. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had as the ultimate purpose. It was to be mekadesh our lives. Lo zu ha-matara lios ba-midbar eretz lo noshaves. Lus parnis mi-lachem min ha-shamayim ha-mon. The goal of life is not to live with the mun. Amnam dardeya hayu b'nei ha-midbar. The dardeya, they were in the midbar. V'ayamnam ha-mun hayu lahem kadosh v'tar. They loved the mun. By the time they got used to it, they realized it was great. Aval b'shvil kach ein ha-kadosh baruch l'tzorach l'bnei adam. But to give mun, Hashem doesn't need people. Yesh lo b'shamayim malachim b'srafim l'madai. Hashem has enough angels. Hashem has enough angels in his repertoire of angelic orchestras. Hakavana hi shashamayim shamayim Hashem v'aretz hazal l'bnei adam. U'bnei ha'adam yu chayim artziyim. Elo sheikachu es artzi es atzmo. We're supposed to be here and be makadish ourselves. There are two ways to do that. How do we sanctify our lives? Mimalo lamata. Either we bring the kedusha down to us, or we bring our artzius, our gashmius, up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we meet somewhere. Mimala lamata or mimata lamala. That's nesachim and that's chala. Those are the tikkunim. The problem was the meraglim. What the meraglim? What was their attitude? They didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? According to some, they wanted to remain in the midbar. They were the dordeya. We want to get food from HaKadosh Baruch Hu straight. We want to stay here. What do we need to go and to farm and to work the lands? Let's stay and live a miraculous existence. Baruch Hu says, that's not what you're supposed to do. Nesachim and Chala. You're supposed to be Mechaber, Shemayim Va'aretz. We're supposed to put it together. We're supposed to go Mimala Lamata, Mimata Lamala. We're not supposed to stay down here, and we're not supposed to leave what's up there, up there. There has to be the connection in the Chibur. I think I mentioned in the past the following thought, but it's worth mentioning again. The thought from the Lubavitcher Rebbe in source number 10. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, he notes interestingly, the Gemara already notes it. But when Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael for the first time with Yeshua ben Nun, unlike how they traveled throughout the desert, where the Aron was in the middle, three Shvatim on each side, when it was time to go into Eretz Yisrael through the Yardin, what happened? The Aron went first. The Aron went first, right when the Ragli Kohanim carrying the Aron touched the water, the Yardin split, and all Klai Yisrael went through, and the Navi describes how they then took a step back, and the water came back, and then they flew over the Yardin, with the Aron, and they ended up on the other side. Okay, that's what the miraculous event that occurred then. But that's the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Why did Aron have to go first? The whole 40 years, Aron went in the middle. What's wrong with going in the middle? Right? Just like that in the Kalev and Yefuna went first earlier in the Yamsuf. So why did Aron have to go first here? Nachshon Ben Aminadav went first, or at least according to the Medrash, according to the Harshav Chassav, just Moshe put up his hands. But Nachshon went first, the person went first. So why did Aron have to go first here? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, source 10. Kol zman shehayu Yisrael b'midbar, chayim hayu b'ikar ruchani. In the midbar, Bnei Yisrael were generally living a spiritual existence. Lechem min hashamayim, mayim min ha-be'er, begadim, their clothes grew with them. Right? Kishe hizchul, ikanis la'eretz Yisrael. But now, when they were about to go into Eretz Yisrael, haskel b'avod ha-tivis, they're about to start a natural existence. Zeriya, ketzira. Hashem says, the Aron goes first. Follow the Aron, v'halachtam acharav. Why? Because if you think about the Aron, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Aron was made of raw materials. Wood, gold, it was fashions. It was very, very mundane and physical. And yet, everything about the Aron was spiritual. Aron knows he has nosa. It carried those who carried it. Makam Aron inam in amidah. If you do the math, the Aron shouldn't have been able to fit into the Kodesh Kadashim. And yet it did. Hainu, what does the Aron symbolize? His chabrus hateva in lamala min hateva. The Aron symbolizes the Gashmis and the Ruchni is coming together. And that's why, on your way into Eretz Yisrael, v'halachta macharav, the Aron goes first. The Nesachim and the Chala, that's the goal of life. Not to remain in the desert. Not to remain in what the Meraglim wanted to do. V'halachta macharav. That's the flow of the Parsha. You have the Meraglim, and then the Nesachim, and then Chala. Good. Two more thoughts for the night on the last two sections of the Parsha. Second to last section in the Parsha is the discussion of the Mekoshesh. The Mekoshesh Eitzim. If you remember the story, there was somebody who was gathering wood in the desert. Vayu Bnei Yisrael, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayu Bnei Yisrael by Midbar. Bnei Yisrael were in the desert. Vayimsu Ish Mekoshesh Eitzim Yom HaShabbos. There was somebody gathering wood on Shabbos. Vayakribu Oso Amotzim Oso Mekoshesh Eitzim El Moshe. They bring him to Moshe and they lock him up because Moshe doesn't know what to do. And Moshe then finds out about what to do with this Mechalel Shabbos. What exactly was the Avera? What was the Avera of the Mekoshesh? So we'll get to that. We'll get to that in the Gemara. Three opinions the Gemara on Shabbos has. Which Melacha was being violated by the Mekoshesh? Not exactly clear in the Torah Shebichsav. But we'll get to that in a minute, but first let's go back a step. Ask the Shagas Aryeh. First phrase in this whole section, Vayu Bnei Yisrael by Midbar, Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, and there was a Mekoshesh Eitzim. Hello, we know Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. That's what we've been talking about the past 10 parshas. Vayu Bnei Yisrael by Midbar. Thank you very much. Vayimsu and those Mekoshesh. They were in the Midbar, I know they were in the Midbar. What do we have to know they were in the Midbar for? Obviously there's something being emphasized here. Two answers. Both quoted by the Maharal Diskin, one of the Brisker Ravs. Maharal Diskin quotes this question, and first quotes the answer of the Shagas Aryeh, where it's underlined on line 9. It says in Shabbos Av Sadek Vav, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mekoshesh Mavir Dalar Amas Bershus Rav Mave. Opinion number one, the Mekoshesh was violated Hotsa'a. He carried Dalar Amas and Bershus Rav. That was the Malacha he did, Malacha number 39. And says the Shagas Aryeh, who of course had Shas on his fingertips, as we'll see from this, the Maral Diskin and the Shagas Aryeh, the Lumdis and the Harifus that they have is because they have Shas on their fingertips. Says the Gemara Shabbos, Dava Velechshav Nami Midbar, should a Midbar be considered a Rishus Harabim? A desert? Is a desert classified as a Rishus Harabim? We know that there are four categories of Rishuyos, domains on Shabbos. Private, public, which is a Yachad, which is a Rabim, and then there's Makom Ptur and Carmelis, which are the less known ones, not for now. But either way, which is a Rabim, which is a Yachad. In order to violate carrying four Amos in Rosh Hashanah, it has to be a Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara Shabbos asks, is a desert a Rosh Hashanah? Amar Abaya, Abaya says it depends. Lokasha, Kan Vizman Shi Yisrael Shiruim Bamidbar, Kan Vizman Azeh. When there were 2 million Jews in the desert, then it's a Rosh Hashanah. But nowadays, there's nobody there. I thought it was just a Rabim now, it's a desert. When Bnei Yisrael were there, so that's when it was a Rishus Rabim. Says the Shagas Aryeh. Now we understand the Pasuk. Vayiu Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar. Bnei Yisrael were in the desert. Therefore, it's a Rishus Rabim Daraisa. It was a Mekoshesh. According to the opinion that he was Mavir Dalam Rishus Rabim, the Torah has to tell us that. That's part of why he's responsible. Because they were in the desert, so that is why it's classified as a Rishus Rabim, and therefore, that's why he was chayif. Wonderful. This explains that opinion. But there are two other opinions as well. Two other opinions are, in the middle column now, Maral Diskin quotes his father, line 7, Dehikshulo, Hatinach l'manda amar hanal maradal amas Rishus Rabim have. According to the manda amar that says, the opinion that says he violated maradal amas is fine. Ach le'inach manda amar b'shabbat sadak vav. But there are two other opinions. Number one is Tolesh Ave. Tolesh means he was violated Kotzer. He cut things from the grounds. Kotzer. Or the other opinion was Ma'amer. Gathering. Gathering items in the field. So, according to those two opinions, you don't have the Shagas Aryeh's answer. So, what would they say? Why did the Torah tell us that they were in the desert? So, he says, let me ask you another question. How could you violate Kotzer in the desert? Nothing's growing there. How do you violate Kotzer? How do you violate Ma'amer? Nothing's growing there. What are they gathering? What must you say, as the Midrashim write, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously, as the Jews traveled, He created gardens, and he created fields and pastures for the animals, and he created fruit trees. He created everything as they went. When they got there, it was there. The second they left, it disappeared. And it was this Atzi Shittim. They brought certain Atzi Shittim to build a Mishkan. Those were Atzi, but this is just regular. How did they find? Right, what do we say in Melechus in the Gemara? We learn all about Melechus Shabbos from Melechus and Mishkan. How they did the Mishkan? So where they do Kotzer in the Mishkan? Where they do Choresh? Nowadays, if you plow in a desert, you're Pater because it's not a Makom Zriya. Right, so he says it must be, according to the Midrashim, he quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, the bottom of the middle column, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'derech Neis, created gardens to plenty of nourishment for Klal Yisrael as they went. Next, last column, once they left, it totally dried out, and it was like nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created as they were camping. But says now, the Maral Diskim Shemus father, line 6, Alokaim Alon, Ein Imur Elabagdule Karka. Imur, if I gather books in my house, do I violate the malach of gathering? No. If I gather cards, if I gather svarim, if I gather forks, do I violate Ma'amer? Nu Chumra, Ma'amer. Can't clean up on Shabbos. Right? No, the Gemara says, Ein Imur Elabagdule Karka only applies to things that grow from the ground. So, is this something that grows from the ground? This is miraculous. Why was the Makoshi violate Ma'amer? How can he violate Ma'amer? Kotzer. These are miraculous things. These aren't things that grow from the ground. Kodesh Baruch Hu put it in the air. Tomorrow it's not going to be here. What's the answer? He quotes another Gemara from Maseches Eiruvin, which says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to go into the desert, it's considered a permanent creation. It's considered permanent for that amount of time. That's what the Gemara in Eruvin says. So read the Gemara. Eruvin Nunhei, Kiva Dechziv Behu Al Pi Hashem Yachanu Al Pi Hashem Yiso Kiman Dekviya Luhudami. It's as if it's kavu in the desert. So says the Maral Diskin. Put all this together. We just had a couple. What did we say? We said that Bnei Yisrael had all of these things created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as they went. Number one. Number two. They have status of permanence because they were following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lead into the desert. Number three, now we understand. Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. They were in the Midbar. Because they were in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created their own existence for them in the Midbar. Now there's Mekoshesh, and they're going to be Chayav on Shabbos. They got to know all of Shas to give that type of answer. Again, first answer of the Shagas Aryeh, it's got to be Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, only when b'nei Yisrael were there. Answer number two of the Maral Diskin, it only applies because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. One final thought for the night. That is, two thoughts really connected to each other. One final thought for the night, and that is on Arashi. Arashi on the Parsha of Tzitzis. Of course, we have the third parsha of Shema, is the Maftir in this week's Parsha. And on the Pasuk of HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hoceiti Eitzchem Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Right, this is my, you should wear tzitzis to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right, that's basically the pashas of the Pesukim. Right, you remember both of them, tzitzis, Laman Tzitzkav, Asizim, Es Kol Mitzvosai, and then Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And Rashi quotes, Dover Acher, Laman Emre Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ani Hu Sheevchati, B'Mitzrayim, B'Tipa Shabachar, Leishayna Shabachar. I am the one that differentiated between a Jewish and a non-Jewish firstborn. I'm going to pay back those who don't wear real tzitzis. They wear fake tzitzis, fake tcheles. We saw the Moshe Adarshan, it continues. But Rashi, either way, emphasizes that tzitzis has a connection to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And even in the next Rashi, psil tcheles, last Rashi on the Parsha, psil tcheles, What does the word tcheles come from? What does the word tcheles mean? So we know in Chazal that the tuf and the shin could switch. Certain letters switch. So if you switch tuf and shin chaf lamid shachol is a lashon of being bereaved. Right? What did Yaakov say? Kasher shachti shacholti. Shachol. So tcheles is shachol, Hashem shikul bachoros. Reminds us of Makas bachoros. So what does tzitzis have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Shabbos has to do with Yetzias. Shabbos, Hashem took us out, and he's the manhig. But what does tzitzis have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Says the Rav Soloveitchik, one of his articles and reflections of the Rav, The same idea is quoted, he quotes it also, from the Arachayim HaKadosh. We'll see for the Rav first in source 12. How are Tchelos and Tzitzis related to the Exodus? When the Israelites resided in Egypt, they wore an insignia which designated their vassal status. The Talmud calls it Kavla D'Avda. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Zayin Amabeis, discusses a Kavla D'Avda. An Eved wears a certain signet, a certain stamp that shows he's an Eved. You're allowed to wear that outside on Shabbos or not. That's why it comes up there. But the Gemara discusses what's called a Kavla D'Avda. So we had to wear that, L'chor Mitzrayim, because we were Avadim. Upon achieving their freedom on the night of the Exodus, when we left Mitzrayim, we became Avdei Hashem. You know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a different Kavla D'Avda. We had one Kavla D'Avda when we were in Mitzrayim, when we were Avdei Paro. But once we became Avdei Hashem, we got a new stamp. We got a new identity card that we are Avadim. And that's our Tzitzis. Tzitzis is our Kavla D'Avda. In exchange, they were to wear a new seal, Tzitzis with Tchelos, indicating that henceforth they were to serve God, their new master. That's what Tzitzis mean. And he quotes also from the Arachayim HaKadosh, who also quotes this Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, bottom of the first column. V'ayilachem l'tzitzis l'sah shehim avadim l'ashem v'habeged oseh kavla yilachem simin zeh l'kavla d'avda. Pirush, second line. K'shiyabitu b'simin avdusam, when you look at it, yitznu leiv she'enam b'nei chorin l'asas k'chefsam. You can't do whatever you want. I look down, I see my tzitzis. You can't do whatever you want when you eat, when you drink, when you sleep, when you have fun. Excuse me. You can't. You got to do whatever your master says. That's our tzitzis. And maybe that's even the true test of an eved, is to do what the master wants even without the master asking. And that's why some of us have explained why tzitzis isn't obligatory like tefillin is. It's accepted upon ourselves as obligatory. Tefillin we have to wear every day whether we like it or not. Tzitzis, really, it's when we have a four-cornered garment on, we have to wear tzitzis. Why is it formulated like that? Why isn't a daka wear tzitzis? Because to be a true Eved, you got to do it an ultimate pure Eved. It's got to be voluntarily. We accept upon ourselves to become your Avadim, Nasev and Nishma, and to wear our Kavod Daft. But then the Rav continues and says one more point. And that is, why is this our Kavod Daft? Dafka blue and white. Black and white, blue and white, Machlokas Rashi Rambam. But the Tchelos is bluer, blacker, not getting into the whole modern Tchelos business discussion now. What's the symbol of blue and white? Says the Rav, symbolically, source 14, the color white denotes clarity, distinctness, rationality, that which is self-evident. The prophet, referring to the power of tshuva, speaks of the white as synonymous with purity. Right? When something is clear, in the Gemara it says mechuvarin, it's white, it's clear. That's white. Clarity, understanding. Tcheles, in contrast, is like the likeness of the sea in the heavens. What did Chazal say? Tcheles is dom eliyam, dom l'raki. It's like the sea, it's like the sun, the heavens, it's like the kisi akavid. What does that mean? Blue means, it symbolizes what's beyond us, what we can't fathom, what's beyond our capabilities as human beings to understand. And focuses our thoughts on the grand mysteries of human experience, which elude our precise understanding. The seas and heavens are boundless and beyond human reach. They encompass the abstract and the transcendent, ultimate values and ends, and man's metaphysical quest and his efforts to rise above the self-evident. It is this area which remains a perennial enigma, resisting rationalization and quantification. While the color white bespeaks the clearly perceptible, tcheles to a realm which is only vaguely grasped. A Jew who is a pure Eved wears both. We have Tcheles and we have Lavan. The Rambam says, did I give this to you? Yeah, in the middle paragraph. The ratio of white and blue threads, as taught by Maimonides, is illuminating in this context. There's a three-way machlokas we've shown him. How many blue strings are there supposed to be out of eight? One, two, or four? It's a machlokas we've shown him. The Rambam says, one. So the Rav says, why? The many threads of white, according to Maimonides, urge us to use our minds for discoveries in technology, to explore and master nature. There's a lot we could accomplish. There's a lot we could understand. There's white. We could send men to the moon. But the one thread of Tcheles pertains to the spiritual realm, where man is humbled by the mystery of existence. Here he needs the guidance of revelation and the religious perceptions of the soul. There's a lot of white, but there will ultimately be some blue. The same dichotomy, he ends, between being on terra firma and on shifting sand is also experienced in our personal lives. We have all had periods, even of an extended nature, which are rational, planned, and predictable. When we feel that we have a hold on events. At other times, however, mystery and puzzlement intervene, dislocating the pattern of our lives and frustrating all of our planning. No one can say, the world and I have always gotten together reasonably, happily and successfully, with ambitions always being realized. I have never been defeated. Stark and harsh reality often imposes the bizarre and the irrational. Nobody can say it like the Rav. Leaving us stupefied, shocked, and bereft. Inexplicable events render us humbled. This is the tchelet of human experience. To be a true Eved, to wear our Kavla da'avda, which we wear when we became Avdi Hashem, and when we wear our tzitzis, and ultimately when Mashiach comes, and everybody will be wearing tzitzis with tcheles, and there won't be any machlokas about it. Right? So then, when that day comes, we'll really be true Avdi Hashem, and we'll always recognize that there is a lot of love in life, but there will always be tcheles in life. We will never be able to fathom everything. We will never be in control of everything. But we have to know that that attitude itself is what makes us avadim. Because we are not adons on our life. We are avadim. We do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do. Sometimes it's white. Sometimes it's blue.